You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
What's up and welcome inside Studio 34 right here in Midtown Manhattan. FST OT Fantasy Sports Today Overtime right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. As always, got the all-in kid Jake Seeley, the finalist, the closer Chris Ventura, holding it down for Matt Modica as he makes his journey out to Las Vegas, Nevada for the NFBC weekend out there in Vegas. So shout out to him. Good luck for him. Hopefully he bring one down out there. All-in kid, what's good? What's going on with you, my man?
Not too much. Just hoping you guys are okay. You going to be able to go home tonight?
I'm getting out of here. I'll be able to make it home tomorrow. It'll be an interesting one. It is snow day right here in New York City. Y'all not getting no bad weather down there, Jake?
No.
Okay.
Virginia.
I thought you on the coast. You by the water, though, so I figured you might catch some of this, too.
No, that's why it usually doesn't get to us.
I didn't know that. We found out yesterday Jake was a scientist.
I thought it snows in Virginia sometimes.
It
randomly.
About once a year. But the problem is the water's right next to us, so it's warm. By the time it gets to the water, it's all dissipating.
Yeah, yeah. It breaks up.
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
What's up with you? Science. How are you doing? You got on your Italy World Cup hat.
Yeah.
Well, represent. What was that joint called last year? The Baseball Olympics. What
World
was
it Baseball called? Classic.
Yeah, the World Baseball Classic. So you representing for the squad.
Yeah, for Italy. You know, Rizzo was supposed to be on the team. Still bothering me.
Why is it bothering you that Rizzo wasn't on the team?
Because he backed out like last minute or something. Because he wanted to be on the USA team, but you know there was too many people on that team.
He probably grew up in like California or something like that.
Yeah, but he's Italian.
Huh?
Italian American. So he could have been the Italian team.
Yeah.
You know?
If you were a major leaguer and you were good enough to qualify for the World Baseball Classic and you got an invite from Italy and you got an invite from the United States, which one would you go to?
I go to Italy.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I grew up in a very tight-knit Italian household.
In Bensonhurst, though, which is in Brooklyn, which is in New York, which is in
like
the United States.
Which was like a little Italy at the time, but then as I got older, it became everything else, a melting pot, if you will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was kind of a culture shock as I grew up.
People, it's not Italians are here.
Yeah, what happened?
What's going on?
I was in Italy.
What do you think of that, Jake? Eventually got an invite from the U.S. and from Italy. He played for the Italian team.
It doesn't bother me if you've got that kind of heritage. If you're originally, I would say those type of generation things, I would say either your parents or your grandparents have to be from there. Like if, you know, you're 100%, even 100% Italian, but everybody back to your great grandparents have lived in America all this time, you're not really Italian.
Right, right. All my grandparents were born in Italy. They came here like between the ages
fair.
20 and 30.
Okay, so I'm cool with
that. See, my grandfather actually and grandmother moved from Poland, so, and not that there's a Polish baseball classic team,
yeah.
But, you know, that's the fact. It's like, you know, I can see that, but once you kind of get to that third generation behind, or I guess that would be fourth generation, whatever, you understand what I'm saying. I think once you've been around for that long,
it's you become Americanized.
It's go play for another country, yeah.
I'm from Harlem, I would just play for the U.S. team.
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah,
it goes back like that.
That's not
boogie down.
Yeah, that's it. Have an H on our hat. You know what I'm saying? All right, when we come back on the other side, got some stuff to get into. Talk about this Zay Jones situation, and I want to talk about some people in sports that I'm ready for them to go away.
The RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package for 2018 is here and better than ever. Packed with a deluxe suite of articles from our award-winning analysts, this year's edition also features a brand new Slack channel, an improved cheat sheet generator, and our most accurate projections ever. We take you from draft day to championship week. Enter promo code FNTSY at checkout for a discount on your RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package.
FSTOT right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Already know, the analyst, the closer, Chris Ventura, sitting in for Matt Modica. Matt Modica, Buffalo Bills fan. So this video comes out yesterday. TMZ drops it. Very disturbing. Zay Jones, wide receiver from the Buffalo Bills going into his second season, coming out of his rookie year. He was nude, which eventually, when I saw this, I was like, well, let me cut this off. It's not a laughing matter, Chris. But at first, I was like, what is this? I didn't want to see that. You know what I'm saying? So thank God they had whatever.
He's ripped, though.
What?
He's ripped.
Wait, hold on one second, Chris. Wait a minute.
Well, I can't say a guy's ripped.
Wait, Chris. Well, listen. He was completely nude, Chris.
Yeah, but they blocked out the thing.
They did block out the thing. Thank God for that. But, Chris, the dude is nude, and you
noticed that he's ripped?
But he was nude, though. You feel what I'm saying? He was nude. So you were looking a little bit too.
Wait. Isn't it better that he noticed he's ripped and he's not like, hey, man, did you see his junk?
It is better. It is better. I'm glad he didn't go that far, but still. Chris, you were looking too hard at this moment.
I watched it a couple times.
All right, that's a little bit more disturbing.
But Chris, he had no clothes on.
Yeah, that's weird. In the run around hotel
slow motion.
Yeah, Chris watched it on repeat. He blew it. He casted it to his TV and blew it up so he can watch it. All right, so let's get past. So I didn't notice he was ripped. I saw him was nude, and I figured I had to watch this because we figured this would be a topic today on the program. So thankfully they had everything blocked out. I didn't notice his abs, but what I did notice is this seems to be a very troubling situation for a young man that could be in some trouble. He had an altercation with no one to say an altercation. Him and his brother were, you know, physically engaged, and it didn't seem like his brother was going after him. It seemed like he was kind of going after his brother. He got past his brother. He ran away. The video changes, and you see this blood smeared all over the place. And then you see this blood smeared all over the place, and then it cuts to a scene of some broken glass and stuff like that. And then we hear that Jones spent the night in a local jail, I guess for vandalism or something like that. Now, All In Kid Jake Seeley is kind of one of three ways that this thing can go right here. First, and hopefully this is the case, this was a bad trip on drugs. Second, Zay Jones is dealing with some kind of mental illness. And third, you know, even though he's a rookie, he still played college ball, still played high school and youth football. You would hate if this was an early onset of CTE. When you look at the video and break it down, some of the things that you have seen from this, what do you think could possibly be going on right here?
I didn't watch the video, actually. So, I've seen all the reports, but I just didn't see the necessity of watching the video. Just as you said, the biggest thing is just hoping it's not the latter. He doesn't really have a real history of concussions where you're saying it really should be. But again, that doesn't always mean anything with how many times you're hit in the head. And we just talk about football being a violent sport. So I think if I'm leaning towards anything, my assumption would be that he was taking stuff he shouldn't be taking, and he's on a bad tripping situation. And unfortunately, that's what happens with people. He wouldn't be the first, and he won't be the last. And it's not just football players. It's any person out there. So it's not a surprise. Like, this probably happens daily. And every single state in America is just, you know, a football player is going to get the notoriety when it happens. So, I just hope for whether it's drugs, whether it is CTE, whether if it's anything, whatever is the situation, he gets the help needed. Honestly, you have to say, if you're talking about football-wise, it'd be a big question if he's back on the field now.
Yeah, you see, McDermott comes across to me as the kind of coach that would not just shun the young man, but want to get him into the situation. Obviously, the Buffalo Bills have said that they've seen the video and they're going to investigate the situation. McDermott seemed like the kind of coach where he would be more helpful towards the young man instead of just throwing him away from the team, which I always think is a bad idea. When you see the video and you saw the situation and how it broke down, Chris Ventura, it's so many different things that can happen here. What was your take on it outside of him being ripped?
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to watch the video, Jake, but honestly, from the known street knowledge, you know what I'm saying? I could tell you right now, he's a little too young to have CTE affect him this early.
I don't know if that's true, because you don't know how many times he got hit playing youth football.
That's true. That's possibly true, but I'm telling you, from what I see, he was on one of two things, bath salts or salvia, something like that. Something that makes you go crazy, and then also violent. That's why he was violent. I don't know if you saw those videos back in the day of the bath salts, the zombies eating people in Miami and stuff like that. Remember?
No, I
don't remember
see
that.
These videos.
That was a big thing a couple of years back. We'll bring it up another time, but basically, people taking those bath salts, they're going crazy. They get naked because they get very hot. They start taking off all their clothes and they start like beating up on people and stuff like that. This looked exactly like that. I mean, there was no reason for him to start throwing his brother around. Then you hear a girl scream. There was also a girl for some. All of a sudden, popped into the camera and she's like screaming, like, "What are you doing?" And then he ran. All of a sudden, you just see blood and there's a ton of blood all over the place.
Yeah.
That's why I watched a couple times. I was like, what's going on here? Because they don't really show everything right away. But I think it's definitely drugs.
You think it's drugs?
I think it's definitely drugs, yeah.
See, now, the thing about it is, if it's drugs, and I hate to say it, if it's drugs, then it's thankful. You're thankful for that because that's something that you can work on and get rid of. But mental illness in sports is something that's not really investigated and looked at too much. It's had a situation with two NBA players, Kevin Love and Oubre from the Washington Wizards, talked about how they have to have these situations with mental illness. Now, listen, you say, well, how can you be mentally ill and suffering from anxiety or depression when you are million-dollar athletes, Jake? But as you know, that really doesn't lead to too much of the situation. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of times when you see these star professional athletes with all the big money and the beautiful women and stuff like that, we kind of forget how vulnerable they really can be mentally.
No, it's not, there's no question about it. But this comes to it's any walk of life. It's just a lot of times when you talk about athletes and this level and this type of attention and stardom and money, a little bit more susceptible to that. As you said, I hope somebody on the team can help him out. But at the same time, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you can get the help. It doesn't necessarily mean you still get your opportunity to play in the NFL, though.
Excuse me, say that last part again. It was in my ear. I couldn't hear you, Jake. I'm sorry.
I said, you can get the help, and hopefully somebody does, but that doesn't necessarily mean you continue to get your opportunity to play in the NFL.
Why would no? That's interesting. You think that this type of situation like this can? I would think it would be unfair if a team or an organization was to look down on a mental illness to the point where they were able to get rid of a player.
No, not mental illness. I'm saying if it's the drug standpoint.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Understood. Yeah. Definitely. If it's
like CTE, but I lean towards what Chris is saying here. And obviously, Chris has broken it down. Chris, do we need to talk?
I've been around the block. I hang out with people on the street. I know I live in Brooklyn, Bensonhurst. That's how it is. You know, a lot of people do that stuff.
I mean, he's breaking this down like I break down fantasy football and baseball players.
No, he really did. He really got really deep into it with the taking off the. And why Miami? Like, is this a Miami thing? You...
No, there was a big story in Miami about a guy who took bath salts and he attacked a homeless man on the street. He started eating him. He ate his face and stuff.
He ate his face?
Yeah, this is bath salts.
I actually remember that story.
You remember that, right?
Yeah. What the hell are y'all watching that doesn't pop up on my timeline?
This was a very big story at the time. It was top news at that time.
All right, so now, K2, synthetic marijuana, does not show up in drug tests. If you take a drug test, if you're on K2 and take a drug test, it will not show up. I believe Chandler Jones from the New England, I don't want to say the wrong player's name, but I believe it was Chandler Jones of the New England Patriots, had a situation where he caught a bad batch of K2, the synthetic marijuana, and he kind of wilded out a little bit. So this does sound like this could be a K2 thing, a synthetic marijuana. Obviously, Zay Jones would probably prefer this method as to failing a drug test so early in his career. Now, if this is the case, then this is where things get a little more dicey because now you got a problem with discipline with the young man where he can't stay away from banned substances, and that could lead to things a little bit further on. So, worst case scenario, the CTE and the mental illness. Best case scenario, as crazy as this may sound, is that he caught a bad batch of, you know, synthetic marijuana or bath salts, as you mentioned, Chris.
Well, if he took bath salts, that's on him. I mean, marijuana is one thing, but I heard K2 could do that to you, could get you messed up and, you know, start hallucinating and things like that. So.
Yeah, so all the kids out there, stay away from that K2 synthetic marijuana. You buy it at the corner store. You don't got to go see the plug to get it. You know what I'm saying? You can buy it at the corner store. But I think they're starting to make it illegal in a lot of places, in a lot of these cities. And I have seen situations where people get on this K2 and they be wilding out like that and taking off their clothes and acting crazy. So
I thought that was like a ski slope or something.
What, K2?
Yeah.
Nah, I think that's like a brand of synthetic marijuana. You really, no doubt, can buy the joint.
There's also like K2. I think that it's actually some high-end skiing area.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure. It's like it's actually a big one. Like, look, I'll type in K2 skiing. Yeah, K2, it's also a brand. Yeah.
Where's that at?
I don't know where the actual
location of these luxurious slopes.
Man, why is somebody from Hartford, Connecticut blowing up my phone?
Oh, somebody's calling Jay from Connecticut. Answer it on the air.
it's probably a sales call. You know how those are.
Yeah, I know. They be fooling me now. I'd be like, oh no, this is a sales call. And then sometimes I'd be like, the number be look familiar, and I will answer it.
By the way, that's why if you call my phone out, you should change it. Don't ever put your voice on your answering machine anymore.
I don't.
Your message. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, I gotta change mine. Then.
I mean, don't do that. All right. So when we come back on the other side, got a couple more things to break down and get to. Interesting night in the NBA last night. Nobody really appeared to talk about that. But it is a former NFL player that I want to talk about because I think it's time for him to go away. He's getting me. He's starting to get on my nerves. We'll break that down when we come right back on FSTOT.
Everybody, it's me, Joe Pisapia. Baseball is back, and that means the Fantasy Baseball Black Book is back as well. It's me, it's Paul Spohr writing starting pitching profiles. It's Jake Seeley, it's Sammy Reed writing DFS. It's a whole lot of greatness right here for you. You can get the new Fantasy Black Book for baseball on Amazon, on iTunes. You can get it in paperback. You can get it for your Kindle. You can get it anywhere you want, but make sure you get it, because once you go Black Book, you never go back.
Back up and Adam FSTOT right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So I was going through some like posts and stuff like that, social media stuff, and I seen this picture of Hall of Fame NFL cornerback Deion Sanders. And as soon as I saw the picture, I was like, wait a minute, what Deion looked different? You know what I'm saying? So you gentlemen, you can if you're on Instagram, look up Deion Sanders on Instagram. So I go, and I'm like, why does Deion Sanders look so different right now to me? So as I'm doing some investigation, Deion Sanders now has a head full of hair. So Deion Sanders is, obviously Deion Sanders cannot, like, go get, like, a toupee, like, oh, I was about to say somebody's name, but I can't do that. I don't want no more smoke. But,
create some fire.
I'm not going to do that. So, Sanders has a full head of hair. And I'm like, why does Deion, how the hell did Deion Sanders get this hair? So, apparently, Deion Sanders had a surgery to give him hair and his hairline. This is unbelievable, Ventura.
Hair club for men.
I'm looking at it right now.
But I didn't know that you could do. I didn't know that black dudes can do this.
Everybody can.
I did not know this. This was news to me. So Deion Sanders has a head full of hair, right? So he takes to social media, and Jake, you're gonna have to help me pronounce the player's name. He had said on NFL Network or on his social media, I guess, or whatever, that Tyrann Mathieu was the best safety in the NFL. So the dude who's like an all-pro safety, Kevin Byard or something like that, tweeted at Sanders and was like, I'm more or less saying I'm better than Tyrann Mathieu. You feel what I'm saying? And right. Sanders tweeted back at him saying, well, as a fan, you wouldn't understand what I have as someone that's been in the game. And dude is like, some don't even know that I play and that I'm an all-pro safety in the NFL. I am so ready for shucking and jiving Deion Sanders to just go away. Back in the day when it was the must be the money and it was Florida State and it was the gold chains and it was the rumors of the four flat 40 with Timberland boots on and the Jerry curl. It was exciting when it was the Georgia Dome and the Atlanta Falcons. It was exciting. It was San Fran. It was Dallas. Prime time. Prime time. But now as a member of the media, mm-hmm. and as a personality, I am ready for Deion Sanders to just vacate the area. I don't want no more Deion Sanders, Jake. I want to get rid of him. I'm tired of Deion Sanders and his act, the fake hair, don't know what he's talking about on Twitter. I'm sick of Deion Sanders, Jake. I would like, you know how you do the thing, they do the nightcap show on NFL Network. Jake, can you apply for that job to replace Deion Sanders where, you know, if you ball, you make the call and you FaceTime the players? Because I think you would do a better job of that, Jake, than Deion Sanders does. I'm ready for Deion Sanders to go away.
I know I would. There's no question about it. It's Kevin Byard. I think it's Byard, as I say his last name. Mm-hmm. It's B-Y-A-R-D, but the fact is Tennessee Titans. Yeah, this is the perfect example, though. is people just assume former players, even former coaches, hell, John Fox just got a job with ESPN. Don't ask me what the hell they're thinking, as they just assume all these players know more than people who aren't playing the game or haven't played it in the NFL level and don't realize that I could probably give you 10 people off the top of my head in the fantasy industry who have more insight, more knowledge, and more in-depth analysis of players than anybody on TV does. Because that's the fact is, just because you're on or on the playing field, is actually Byard actually said the same thing. He actually started heading down this route. Is often when you play one position, you're focused on that one position, and you don't even know about the other 21 players playing that team. Or if you want to whittle it down to 16, if with similar players, corners and safeties and that type of stuff. But the point is, a lot of these players finished the NFL and only focused on their position and their play, and they don't realize all these other players. The fact that Deion Sanders is on TV and breaking down what he's breaking down and doesn't know who Byard is, that's egregious. And to your point, is exactly what I say is, like, maybe me, I don't know a ton of defensive players like the rest, like Gary Davenport is IDP master, but hell, I can sit here and do a lot more I can offensively with all the skill position players and break it down a lot better than Deion Sanders ever will, because at least I knew who Byard was. The guy was an all pro, yeah. And that was the point here. And you don't know that he's just some, you thought he was a fan, like, and you're on TV? That's absurd to me.
Unbelievable.
No, he's right.
What the hell is going on with Deion Sanders? Why is he making a mockery of himself?
Well, he's always been, you know, a little off, I feel like, you know. But that's also what makes him entertaining. And that's what these, I feel like ESPN and all these guys, they're just looking for people that are entertaining and were in the sport because they think that people are going to watch just because they played the sport. That's not always the case, because now there's a ton of guys doing that. Quarterbacks, this, that. Every panel has a former player, most likely outnumbering the host or whoever is not a player.
The skilled broadcasters, right. Like myself.
And he's right, because like fantasy people, like we're looking in depth at every stat, at every player. These guys might not be. Just because they played the game and maybe they're a little funny and they got a good personality and they could speak doesn't mean that they could actually know every part of the game or what's going on.
I'm just ready for him to go away, Ventura. And I think you both gentlemen make a good point with that right there. I just came back to my computer right now because I'm about to get into another story. And the first thing I see is Zay Jones' naked ass. So.
What, you put it as a screensaver?
No, Jake. I was scrolling and I saw they had a screen grab of the video. I did not screen. Dude, when you getting on me, it was Ventura that was noticed that he was ripped. I was looking at his brother.
Okay. As long as you're looking at his brother.
I was looking at his brother.
I couldn't help it.
So last night in the league, it was big game, playoff atmosphere, Houston Rockets and the Portland Trail Blazers played in Portland. Rockets got a big W. James Harden went crazy. James Harden is going to be the MVP of the NBA this year. He's really getting it done. That Houston Rocket team looked like it's ready to roll. The thing about this Houston Rocket team is, remember, these dudes, Harden and Paul, they don't never really advance that far in the playoffs. Harden has been to the NBA Finals. He's a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. But Chris Paul has never really done anything in the NBA playoffs. Mm-hmm. When you start to see these experienced teams like the Golden State Warriors, and I'm not being a homer here, but when you start to see these experienced teams like the Golden State Warriors, don't be so quick to count them out against these up-and-coming teams. Listen, you run Houston off the three-point line, you got a good chance to beat them. Now, not everybody can do that, but I don't think Paul's game is going to be the same come the next 3 months. As Jake mentioned, the NBA playoffs is going to be May, June, and July. So be careful of that. But they did ESPN did a sit down with CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard, and they were talking about some of the best backcourts in the NBA. And he was like, listen, I'm not going to say we the best, but you definitely got to put us in the conversation. When you think of the best backcourt, you think of John Wall and Bradley Beal and obviously Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and on and on and on and stuff like that. Now, here's the thing. This is where you got to be careful at. They asked the Portland Trail Blazers about a situation where it was the end of the game situation. The Rockets were going to win the game. And it was the seconds were ticking off the clock, and Chris Paul had the basketball, and he ran down the court and scored. So Dame Lillard went over to him and approached him for doing this. Chris Paul was like, you wasn't playing defense, I was going to score. Lillard tried to knock the ball out of Paul's hands. A little bit of beef, nothing serious. Lillard told a story about how he was a rookie in the NBA. Clock was running out. It was nobody down there. Game was about to be over. They're about to win the game. And he scored. And a veteran on the other team approached him and said, in this league, we don't do that. We also saw this happen a few weeks ago with some team, I forgot exactly who it was, where a player, it was against the Cavaliers, where a player scored and Jordan, I think it was either Clarkson or Larry Nance Jr., said something to the player and words were exchanged. At the end of possession, at the end of a game, when a team is clearly going to have a victory, Jake, do you think it's right to take that last basket?
What do you mean, is it right to take that last basket? Like, how so?
The score is 112-88. The team that has 112 has the ball. The clock is running down.
Right.
Shot clock is off. And the player goes in and scores. Is that something to beef about?
How was it done? I didn't see it. That's kind of what I'm getting at here.
Oh,
like,
it was.
So like, to time, you're saying the time would have ran out.
Before yeah,
like,
yeah.
It would have been a turnover.
The shot, yeah, it wouldn't have been a turnover. The shot clock was off.
All right. That to me is poor form. That's kind of what I was trying to get at here. Is like, yeah, if the shot clock was going to run out, and then you're like, you just kind of go and shoot it. It's like, all right, we're going to get a turnover anyway. To be honest with you, that one's kind of 50-50 for me, because you've seen some teams that just let the shot clock turn, you know, get the turnover anyway, and they're just like, all right, here, you can have the ball because you're going to walk it out anyway too. So that was kind of was getting it. But when it comes down to scoring and you didn't even need to, yeah, that to me is in poor form, because what's the point of that? Are you padding your own stats? Are you doing this to just show up the other team? It's just, what was the point of it? And I've never understood that. So, yeah, you know me when it comes to, you know,
sportsmanship.
Sportsmanship, classiness, all that type of stuff. I think that's not low class, but it's poor form.
What do you think about that, Ventura?
I'm a little bit like, it's borderline because I got to see it, but that could be borderline Bush League. We call that Bush League. But at the same time, then we should be bashing the Patriots all the time for running up the score on everybody. They always try to run up the score.
I think that's always a little bit different in football, though.
I know. I understand what you're saying. But if you're up 20 by 20 points with, you know, 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
I'll make a comparison for you, Chris. The Patriots aren't running up the score with 30 seconds left, and the other team can't stop the clock, and they still try to score a touchdown.
Yeah, they're not doing that. I guess that's kind of the equivalent. But in basketball, you know, baskets are scored left and right. It's not like football where it's very hard to score a touchdown. You know what I mean? So if he did it in a way where it's like, all right, come on, you really didn't have to do that. But if he had just enough time and he just took a shot for the fun of it, you know, it's borderline Bush League, but I wouldn't take it too seriously. I wouldn't get all...
Well, C.J. McCollum did take it serious. In the interview, he said, trust me, don't worry about it. It won't happen again, because in that situation, if the clock is running down, somebody's getting fouled. And he made the emphasis that it's going to not be a... You know, go to the, it could be of the flagrant foul variety.
I'm surprised that didn't happen. Like, honestly, when you're painting this picture, I'm surprised that as he was going to score, that somebody didn't come over and him out. Like,
because nobody thought that he was actually going to do it, because, like you said, it's poor form. So there you go, there. Running up the score, though, is interesting. When we come back on the other side, I want to talk about running up the score in baseball and also running up the score in college football. Is it different in college football? FSTOT right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Steiner Sports is the leading memorabilia provider for the New York Yankees, Rangers, Giants, Knicks, and the Brooklyn Nets. Featuring hundreds of items from your favorite athletes, Steiner Sports is your source for the best sports gifts. Go to steinersports.com/box and shop our collection of memorabilia boxes, which include 10 gifts for the price of one. We've made one for each of your favorite teams. Hurry, supplies are limited, and these are some of the best deals we have ever offered. So go to steinersports.com/box today.
FSTOT right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Snow day here in New York City. I believe this is called Winter Storm Toby. And everybody's putting up like a picture of this same guy. I guess it's some dude named Toby, but I don't know where this character is from. Are you familiar with
this? This is Toby from The Office?
Maybe that's what it is.
Let me see. I think it probably is.
Are you an Office watcher, Mr. Ventura?
Yes, me and my girlfriend watch it every night.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Y'all watch it? It comes on every day?
We have it on Netflix.
Oh, y'all watch it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Winter Storm Toby.
It's funny.
It's funny?
It's pretty funny. I think It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is better. That's my favorite.
I don't know.
Hey, what stupid else? Millennial.
What else do you and your girlfriend watch together?
We watch movies. I like horror movies, things like that. Yeah. You know, but she don't.
When you watch a horror movie, does she cuddle up closer to you?
Nah.
No.
That's Michael Scott. Yeah.
So Winter Storm Toby is going down today in New York City. So, If you're in the crib chilling, whatever the case may be, thanks for rocking with us. Yeah, this is the guy right here. Who's that guy right
That's
there?
Toby. That's Toby. From the office.
From the office. It is confirmed that it's Toby from the office.
He's like everybody who everybody hates in the office.
Why
he's very
they hate
boring,
him?
Just like mundane, no personality type guy. He's like the HR guy.
Oh, he's like
he's the HR guy.
He's the HR guy.
So the boss hates him. They abuse him.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to have to go see the human resource people. I've been there on a couple of occasions. It's very serious when you go to the human resource people because they could like say it's over. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes they have said it's over. So, well, I know I got a phone call. The lady was. Let me tell you a funny story about me and human resources. The lady, the human resources lady, I had a phone call with human resources, right? Had a situation. This was a Sirius XM, and had a phone call with human resources. Right, and she was with child. The lady went on maternity leave the day that me and her had the conversation. She went on maternity leave for like 6-7 months. The day she came back, the very first person she heard from was me again. So she left with me and went on maternity leave. And then when she came back 8 months later, guess what? It's me again. And she was like, this is amazing. And I was like, I'm sorry this happened this way. But apparently, it is what it is. Listen, they couldn't handle me. It's too much. But I'm here now. This guy, this Toby, he does look like one hell of a character.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back into this running up the score thing. You talk about the Patriots and Bill Belichick, that year where they went 18-1 when they lost to the New York Giants, they used to hammer teams. I remember when they played the D.C. football team, they must have beat them 52-10. And I'm talking about in the fourth quarter, they were throwing the football deep down the field, scoring touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And I felt so bad for poor Joe Gibbs because the NFL had really passed Joe Gibbs. You know what I'm saying? Like Joe Gibbs coming back to D.C. was not a good idea.
No.
You know, obviously he was there when the Sean Taylor situation happened and stuff like that. So it was a calming influence at that time as the Beltway area was stricken by the murder of Sean Taylor. I'm about to say the assassination, but the murder of Sean Taylor. But now, when it came to on the field and in-game management, Joe Gibbs had no help, no clue what he was doing. He's better as a NASCAR guy now. So that situation right there, Jake, that year, that was a big story that year. Did you take umbrage with the Patriots dropping the hammer on teams and blowing people out 60-something points, 52-10, and throwing touchdown bombs in the fourth quarter, like not running out the clock, like throwing the football going downfield?
No, I don't, because you know what? You're a professional player, just like the rest of them. Stop them. Stop them from scoring. Do your job, and then stop complaining about it. Look, if they're going to score, they're going to score. It's your job to try and prevent them from doing so. If you can't, that's not on them to play down to your level because you're subpar. That's not their job. It's not their job to keep themselves in check and try to play 90%. Hell, play 90% on defense or offense or when you're going down and get ready to get tackled or actually in any sport, play 90% and try to keep yourself in check. That's often how people can get themselves hurt. So, like, look, if you can't stop them, that's on you. Again, I go back to if there's 30 seconds left, a minute left, and you can't stop the clock on defense and they start throwing the ball on you, that's a different story. That's 100% running up the score just to shove it in somebody's face. Running up the score because you're better than somebody else, like the UConn women's basketball team, beating that team has scored 90 in the first half. You know what? Get a better basketball program. Get a better squad put together. The fact is, we need to stop with this. Oh, you can't beat somebody 110-20 in high school. Well, stop scheduling those damn teams on your schedule if you're not that good.
What do you think? What do you think? See, I don't like running up the score, to be honest with you. I don't really like
running it up.
Well, Patriots ran up the score.
I'm supposed to stop being good because you can't handle my
talent? Put the scrubs in the game. You know what I'm saying? Run the clock out. Put the scrubs in the game.
That's the thing. That's the misconception, Corey, is they often do. The UConn women are playing their backups in the second half. These high school teams are often given plenty of time to everybody on the team. Now, if you're playing and you're up by triple digits in the third quarter and you're still playing your five starters, we could have a conversation about that. But the misconception is often a lot of these teams are doing that. It's just the problem is they're back. Backups are better than your starters. Don't put them on this. Like, we talked the high school level going all the way down to that level, and even some of those football teams that are winning like 73-0. Don't put them on the schedule. Like, I understand it's tough to put one together, but you don't have to put that kind of disparity in talent on the schedule. Even if you only get 8 games versus 12, sorry, but you're doing something for the. It doesn't help the other team either. The team on the losing side, it does nothing to say, oh, you played against that talent. No, it does nothing for them.
So you're putting it on. Putting it on the organization
better,
themselves. Exactly. You're putting it on the organization.
Exactly.
Not the teams.
What do you think, Chris?
I think college, first of all, is a completely different animal than the pro sport.
There you go. I agree with you on that. I think in college, because of rankings and stuff like that, I don't have a problem in college with running the score up because
you have to.
Jimmy Johnson, when he was at the University of Miami, he would hammer teams. But the college, the system was like, we have to hammer teams. Make sure that we play in a national championship.
You don't want to be Oklahoma, which you're a highly ranked team in a great conference, and you play a team from the MAC, and they're horrible. They're in last place.
You got to punish them.
And you only win 20-10. That doesn't look good. You want to beat them 55-10. You know what I mean? You have to. Otherwise, it's going to hurt your ranking. It's going to hurt your ranking.
So on the collegiate level, I really don't see too much of a problem. But on professional level, you know what I'm saying? We're all pro athletes out here. Show a little bit better form. Let's have a little bit more class in that. That's how I feel about it. But Jake does make the point. We're all professional athletes. Your job is to stop me.
There's a difference between running up the score and showing somebody up. Running up the score is sometimes you can't prevent it. If your talent is that much better than the other team, that's too bad.
There's a fine line, though.
Yeah.
Because the Patriots did run up the score, and the Patriots still will run up the score, and they always have. With Belichick,
and I have no problem with that. And I'm not there's some Giants fan. Look behind me.
Yeah, I
have no problem.
Well, we're happy because we beat him twice.
Right, running up the score is like people get caught up in the terminology of it, and I don't think the problem is running up the score is not running up the score. You're just better. If you can't be stopped, that's not your fault. Now, showing somebody up is a completely different animal. I think.
You know who used to show people up? Jake, you may remember this. Chris, you probably wouldn't. You remember the Pony Express, those old SMU teams? They used to show people up. Yeah, they would. Yeah. They would.
There's
come.
Mustangs?
Huh?
The Mustangs?
Yeah, the SMU. Yeah, they would show you up. They was not running up the score. They was going full blast. They didn't care. They were showing you up, and they were very brash about it.
100%. And it used to be a thing in college football because college football strength of wins used to be factored into the rankings, so people would do it.
Yep, and SMU had a good time with it. Now,
wait, strength of wins isn't factored in anymore? You mean like if...
Well, now they got the playoffs, so it's a little bit different.
It's not factored in at all. Yeah. That's not even a part of the formula. It actually used to be part of the formula. The computer formula used to involve strength of win, like how much you won by and stuff like that. That used to be a thing.
I thought that was still
a thing. And now, it's not part of the formula, but if you're doing rankings eye test wise, it's obviously nobody can look at it and not pay attention. Like you see Ohio State beats Michigan 55-10. Nobody's going to come at it and say, well, I'm not really going to factor in. They won by 45.
Exactly.
It's going to come into your mind.
Yeah. It may not be in the computer, but your head is telling you this. Now, Chris, you're a video game player.
Yeah.
Now, is there a rule? See, back when we used to play Madden, we used to, because it used to be so many of us, you know what I'm saying, at the crib and stuff like that, and recreational stuff like that, and bears and whatever, and then no women, you know what I'm saying, and we passing the sticks around, and we had the house rule, and the house rule is if you go down 21 in the first quarter, you got to get off the stick.
Yeah, mercy rule. There was definitely one. When we played Madden, and the heyday of Madden, like 2004, 2005, 2006, with Vic on the cover and everything, those used to get heated. And, if it was 21-0 by halftime, that was it.
It was over. Jake, did y'all have a mercy rule when you were playing video games?
Yeah, we actually had that. That was the 21 rule. It was actually the first half. 21, if you're down by 21 by the end of the first half. You at least got to get to the halftime.
Right.
But if you're down by 21 at the halftime, you're done.
I thought that was just a Brooklyn thing. I didn't even know it was out there like that. No.
Once again, Chris Ventura, the world is bigger than Bensonhurst.
Yeah.
Bigger than New York. Get over it.
No, this is nationwide. The 21, the house rule, you had to give it up. Now, Major League Baseball, do you think there should be some kind of rule like this in baseball where if we get to the seventh inning, Jake, and you're like double digits over your opponent, shut it down, it's over?
Absolutely not.
Is this even a consideration?
We've seen teams come back from double digits. It's rare. But they've come down from being down 11 runs. It's happened.
My man, listen, but it happened in Madden too, though, Jake. You could be 21. You could be down 21 at the half.
Did you just really compare Madden to real life?
I did.
Well, they're considering
my
that
man
other
Boogie
rule.
One time. He just started intercepting passes, and he came back and he beat me, and it was wild that night.
Another rule: you weren't allowed to use Mike Vick and Falcons 1 year because he had 98 speed.
Really? That's not fair.
That was one of our rules. You can't use Falcons in a serious tournament.
What do you think about that rule?
Vick was too fast.
Oh, we had the same thing. You couldn't use Michael Vick. That was
exactly.
Broke the game. That was stupid.
He broke the game. He broke the game. He was sick.
90 plus speed. It was basically you had a running back as your quarterback. Exactly. And everybody always did the same thing. They just rolled out and ran. If you pulled in your linebacker or tried to come after him, he threw him. If you didn't, he ran down the field. It was impossible.
Impossible to stop.
No, I've seen some dudes that were pretty terrible Madden players play with that Falcon team and win. But see, I was always up for the challenge. You feel what I'm saying? That's when that was in my hey. Now I'll be like, I don't know. Yeah. Are the buttons still the same?
It's the same as my buddy who thinks he's all skillful, and every time he gets to the line of scrimmage, he runs slants with Jason Witten and at least one of his receivers and just makes it impossible to cover because he's always run the same thing throughout the game.
When I figure out
a way to break the game and you keep playing that way.
When I play, I take the air out the ball. I run the possession clock down, I run the football, and I'll beat you like 21-17, just like that. That's how I run the play.
Clock. Too.
And well, we talk about that the rest of it when we come back. FST OT right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Mental illness in sports is something that's not really investigated and looked at too much. Just had a situation with two NBA players, Kevin Love and Oubre from the Washington Wizards. When you see these star professional athletes with all the big money and the beautiful women and stuff like that, we kind of forget how vulnerable they really can be mentally.
Talk about athletes in this level and this type of attention and stardom and money, they're a little bit more susceptible to that. As you said, I hope somebody on the team can help them out, but at the same time, you can get the help. It doesn't necessarily mean you still get your opportunity to play in the NFL, though.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Final few minutes of the program, getting ready to hand you off to the Fantasy Best Friends Forever snow day right here in New York City. And thank you for rocking with us. Thanks to Chris Venture, the analyst. What is it? The analyst.
15.
Yep. Rocking with us, the all-in kid.
Trying to come for A-Rob.
What happened, son?
He's trying to come for Allen Robinson.
That's what he called himself? Oh, AR-15.
It's D-AR-15.
Yeah, Allen Robinson is D-AR-15 on Twitter.
Is that what you're trying to do, Ventura? You're trying to come for Allen Robinson?
Oh, no. I've had the analyst for like 5-6 years now. Oh,
been
that was just like my
Allen
thing.
Allen Robinson has been Allen Robinson D-AR-15 for his life.
Oh, really? Well, he's going to have some trouble on the Chicago Bears now. So.
Think so?
Oh, look at that.
Ventura, you're going after him.
Well, I mean, Mitchell. I don't know if I believe in Mitchell
believe in
just yet.
Mitchell the truth, Trubisky.
I don't know if I do.
Mitch Trubisky is this year. Jared Goff. Corey knows that.
Maybe.
Maybe. He could be. I'm not invested.
The best part is, this is one of my most fun articles. I wrote it back in January, and I said they need to add these pieces, and then we'll go down the Jared Goff road. And then everybody's like, oh, he's the new Jared Goff. Yeah. Who said it first?
Jake was on it first. All in kid. You already know.
Wait, was on Jared Goff first?
He's got the Roto-West.
No, on Trubisky being this year's Jared Goff.
Oh, okay.
He's got the Roto-West Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package. You get his rankings, his projections. You also get the BFF. State stuff is in there, too, with the points leagues and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So use the promo code. What's the promo code, All In Kid?
Yep, All In Kid.
Use the promo code All In Kid, and they can track how much money Jake make for them. Not give none to them.
they already found this stuff out. You know what the number one reason was that people come to Roto Experts?
The All In Kid.
It wasn't rankings. It was just Jake Seeley.
There you go.
Nice. There you go.
He's the kid right there. In theory, it's nice. In theory, it's nice, Venture, but just keep grinding. You feel what I'm saying? All right, Venture, what you got planned for snow day? You going home chilling with your girlfriend?
I'm definitely playing Fortnite. I'm not chilling with my girlfriend. Maybe later at night.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I got to do some.
Are you happy about the new change?
With Fortnite? Which one? The Blitz?
They're making it harder to build things.
Yeah, it's a lot more difficult, a lot more challenging. But more importantly, though, I'm probably going to do a good amount of studying today, tomorrow, because my draft is Friday. My big draft is Friday, baseball.
All right, so we'll talk some fantasy baseball on the show tomorrow on Friday, get you ready for your draft. Mm-hmm. Jake, you're done drafting, right?
Thank God. I'm just waiting for the beat Jake Seeley in the play FFWC. That's got to finish, but
them drafts
once
is long,
that's
a, man.
I know. This thing's been going on way too long. I understand it's a slow draft, but come on, people.
Yeah, maybe do a little bit better than
they
got
to cut it to 4 hours, not 8.
Maybe that's the way to do it,
well,
too.
Well, the worst is, so you got that, and then if you get close to the nighttime, it carries over for the 12-hour clock, too, so some of these people end up getting, like, 16.
The emails fill up your inbox. It can be disgusting. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If y'all haven't seen some of these videos from Sterling Shepard's wedding, they had a blast at that joint. So I wish I would have got invited because it was beautiful women and they was having drinks and good music and good times. I'm not even a New York Giants fan, but mm-hmm. I would have wanted to attend that. So
I believe this is a good sign for the Giants' chemistry moving forward. They're partying like that together, dancing. Their choreography was even on point.
Look at that.
And that's a sign of good chemistry of things to come, hopefully. You know, maybe Odell, they got rid of the garbage.
Odell Beckham stole the show, obviously. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. He can move.
What you say, Jake? Still trade him.
Jake still want him going.
He's done with him.
Daniel Bryant, Jake, is back. Is that, that's his name, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Happy about this?
Oh, everybody is. This is the biggest, and they broke it early yesterday, so it's the highest viewership in SmackDown for a long time, and that's exactly why they waited. They waited to do it on a Tuesday, but also announced it way before they were actually on the air that night. Last night.
There you go, right there. You,
great news.
I heard that because my girlfriend watches Bella, the Bella Twins.
Really?
You know that, what is it, Divas, Total Divas, and she said that he was not supposed to wrestle ever again. He's got like a brain issue, right?
Oh, apparently
he's been cleared. He's been multiple doctors.
Hopefully, he stays healthy.
Cleared him, so good luck to him moving forward. Glad to have him back for all the WWE aficionado out there. Fantasy best friends coming up next. We out. Let the Notorious One take us out.